Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. So to come on the program here in about 30 minutes or so, we got from News Talk 93.1, our Friday regular, April Marie Fogle. Also on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, so stick around for that. Joining us now, I believe we got him, he is the Libertarian Party gubernatorial nominee here. Well, he just dropped. Let's see if we can pick him up again. Here we go. Anyway, joining us now on the line from Birmingham, calling in, running for governor on the Libertarian ticket, Jimmy Blake. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Glad to appreciate you having me on.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Sorry for about the abrupt call there. I was trying to do too many things at once. But anyway, such as live radio goes, you're running a Libertarian Party. I guess you had to give up your Republican. You had to give up your Republican participation for 6 years if you run with another party. Or just kind of walk us through your decision and what led you to do this.
Well, Jeff, you know, I've not been very active in politics for a significant number of years, and I'm retired from my medical practice. And the Libertarians, through great effort, were able to get the party on the ballot. I'm confident that you probably know that that's not an easy process in Alabama. It costs the party roughly $250,000 to collect the signatures to get the party on the ballot, and of course that's a tall hill to climb. And to stay on the ballot, then one of our candidates has to get 20% of the vote that's in the governor's race in order for the party to qualify to be on the ballot for the next election. So I think the main thing that pushed me into doing it initially was to seek that goal, to help the party get 20% of the vote in some statewide office so that it could be on the ballot next time and we can spend $250,000 in the campaign rather than just climbing the mountain to get into the campaign. So that was my principal motivation. I want to help the ideas of liberty and limited government, and I thought, why not? I thought, you know, the party leadership thought that my name ID in Birmingham might be helpful. And I'm willing to, you know, add to that effort.
Right. And I grew up in Shelby County in Pelham, and I was very familiar with who you were. And I remember all those years you were on the city council during the Arrington era of Birmingham politics, which was one to behold. But it does seem like having you on the ballot, and I was telling somebody about this the other day. Now, I don't know what your expectations are in this cycle, but I think there's enough within Republican Party politics of a sort of an anti-Kay Ivey sentiment out there, and I still think she's probably going to win, but you have a very weak Democrat candidate. How do you feel about the person with the L next to their name in this race? I mean, doing maybe outperforming whatever expectations there are.
Jeff, my expectations have changed fairly dramatically from what, you know, my initial thoughts on it. You are absolutely right. There is a huge stigma of small government conservative Republicans out there that are not happy with the choices. And I won't say they're just mad at Kay Ivey. They're mad at the Republican leadership that has just, they talk small government, but look at what they've done with the state budget. When all our surrounding states are cutting the taxes, Alabama, increased the gas tax and gave no tax relief to speak of. They want to claim they did, but it doesn't amount to squat in the long run. And then, you know, I don't know if you saw the article by Senator Orr in the, what is 18-19 news, I think it was yesterday.
Right.
He's calling for giving tax money back. Well, that's absurd and an insult to me. The notion, I mean, use that excess money to pay off the debt of the state of Alabama and give us real tax relief. I would start phasing out the income taxes where I would focus. Tennessee doesn't have an income tax. Florida doesn't have an income tax. Mississippi is phasing out their income tax. Georgia cut taxes by $2 billion this year, and Alabama increased the gas tax. That's not small government that the Republican Party speaks about, and there are a lot of people who are aware of it and very unhappy. I would say that the Senate race, there's a lot of people that are very upset about what happened there. I do think some people are upset with Kay Ivey, but I don't think there are people who dislike Kay Ivey. I mean, Kay Ivey is, you know, she's got a charming Southern accent, and I really think that gets her past a whole lot of, I don't know who's running state government, but whoever's running state government strikes me as a big government globalist. Look what we've done with the budget. Look what we've done with spending. And the worst possible thing, look what we did with COVID. I mean, we locked down the state of Alabama. We put masks on school children. We shut down small business. Unfortunately, the governor tried to shame the people of Alabama for not taking an experimental and, in my judgment, dangerous vaccine. I mean, it was out and out tyranny, and I think people are aware of that, and they need to be aware of that. We should never let anything like that happen again, and we need to put Alabama, we've got some of the most conservative citizens in the whole country, and we've got a big government legislature.
Let's talk about the skin of the state of affairs in Alabama. But it's been like this since the Civil War, that it's a state that's run by big ag, and it's run by the big mules, as they call them, the industrialists. But you look at the tax structure and the way we tax property, and the reason why you have a 10% sales tax in some municipalities, that it's always been a state that I thought was a little too geared toward big business interest. It's to this point, to me, it's just kind of part of the fabric of the state that people just, you know, they just accepted to deal with it. And that's something that I don't know if people are aware of it or not.
Jeff, I think it's funny that you use the word big mule. Well, I'm going to use a similar term. It's time to send the big mules a message. Send them a message. The same fellow that talked about big mules, that was one of the things he said frequently. And that would be George Wallace.
Well, and it was all, but we have such a system where, you know, you mentioned Orr's tax rebate, but I think the tax code in this state is fundamentally flawed, and I don't know how you ever unravel it, but it is so geared toward big business. It is so geared toward, you know, timber and all of these sort of interests that have always had their way in Montgomery. And now it's even worse, Councilman. They have taken what you have now, I guess. It sort of started with the AEA and its rise. But now, like, the big mules, one of the big mules is the University of Alabama system, where you have government lobbying government. And it's kind of a perverse system.
We've got government governing lobbying government at every university and most state institutions, as a matter of fact. And frankly, we just the Republican Party just put, you know, the premier lobbyists on as their Senate campaign, as their Senate candidate. So, you know, it's amazing how not only the big news in Alabama, but a whole lot of big money coming out of Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in Washington that have interfered and really hijacked the political process in Alabama, in my judgment. And Jeff, before we get off the topic of why I ran, I want people in Alabama to know that there's one thing that the Democrats and the Republicans, the duopoly party, as we call them, have in common, and that is they don't want any competition. Alabama, as I said, requires a 20% of the vote to stay on the ballot. Well, you know, 40 years ago, the Republican Party wouldn't have been on the ballot hardly under those kind of circumstances. The next highest is 10%, and the average is 1% across the station. So Alabama is 20 times more restrictive. And, you know, they don't want anybody on the ballot. And we've got 65 candidates on the ballot right now. At least 50 of them are running only against the Democrats or only against the Republicans. The only reason people have any choice in those races in the general election is because the Libertarians are on the ballot. We want people to have a choice.
Well, what do you say to this? Republican Party, there seems to be a disconnect. You know, people think Alabama is this, right, rabid right wing, anti-government, John Birch Society type of state. But when we go to the ballot box, when we go to vote, Katie Britt gets elected by big margins. Governor Ivey overwhelmingly wins the Republican primary with a stacked field. Is there a disconnect between those who participate in the primary process in the actual state? Maybe that is why we are where we are.
Well, there's clearly a disconnect. That is, I don't think that kind of government is what the people of Alabama truly want, Jeff. But when you've got tens of millions of dollars telling the big lie, it's difficult to fight with that. And, you know, if you've got to be able to get your message out. And, for example, you know, the folks that ran against KIV, you know, didn't have the resources, and maybe they weren't the best candidates in the world. They weren't necessarily the best spoken candidates in the world. In the case of Mo Brooks in the Senate race, I mean, that was the most, Katie Britt ran the nastiest, most dishonest, lying campaign I have ever seen in my life in Alabama to defeat Mo Brooks. And she did it against Mo Brooks, and she did it against Durant. And that money and that morality of politics is coming right out of Washington, D.C.
Well, I mean, but it's what they're doing. It's, I mean, she got the W. It just seems like people at some point ought to see through that. Maybe it manifests itself in the general election where you can where the Libertarians can show a little strength there. Let me get you out of here on this.
Well, let me say I've been tickled to death with the response we are getting, and so my expectations have changed to a much more positive view, and I think we might get a few people elected. I just want you to know I appreciate your tuning us in because that's how we get the message out, Jeff. We don't have millions in special interest dollars to do it. Thank you.
Well, wait. We're not quite done yet. Just I got one more question for you, then we'll let you go.
Sure.
Conservatives, the problem conservatives in this state, I think, have with the libertarian philosophy, it's the cultural stuff. It is marijuana. It is that government is so far removed that we don't put any limitations, that you leave that up, those decisions up to the individual. And I get it. But where do you see that? How do you see that working out in Alabama where maybe culturally Libertarian party philosophy doesn't really fit in?
Well, I think it does. There are certain misconceptions too. I mean, Jeff, I'm Alabama through and through, born and bred. Okay, but I believe in free markets and I believe in freedom. And I think that you've got to package these things in a way where people see what you're talking about. And I think that's doable. I'm tickled with the kind of response we've been getting so far.
Real quick, before we let you go, is there a place people could go, a website or something like that, if they want to find out more about your candidacy?
Absolutely, and I wish it was up. It's not to the level that I hope it'll be here shortly, but if they'll go to VoteLibertyAlabama.com, VoteLibertyAlabama.com, they'll learn a little bit more. I've also got a Facebook page, and go there. They can volunteer. They can ask for information. They can make a donation, and I'd appreciate $5 $10. I'd much rather have, you know, $100,000 $10 donations than several million-dollar donations. And so thank you for letting me get that message out.
Hey, thanks for making time for us, and we'll get you on again sometime soon.
I hope so, Jeff. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That was the Libertarian Party gubernatorial nominee, Jimmy Blake. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.